This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And we survived the end of the Mayan calendar.
Again, right.
Yes, that was it. Just a couple of years ago, we were down in Cancun at Chichen Itza, the sort of the headquarters of the Mayan. The headquarters of the Mayan people. I was standing up at the top of the pyramid where the high priest stood, and they had sort of an echo chamber so you could call out from there, and it would project your voice downward to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody listened to me. I tried to take over for the short time I was there, but nobody actually paid attention to me.
But people listen to you here, so isn't that really all that you need?
That's really all this. And so I was a little worried about the end of the Mayan calendar, of course. It's just I think they just ran out of stones to encrypt, additional cycles of the calendar. And so I think December 21st was actually kind of an arbitrary end date for one of their cycles.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, we did survive, and I assume.
But are we better off?
I think we're actually much better off because now we don't have to worry about that particular crisis coming up. It's done. It's finished, and we don't have
to
worry about it.
We have the next one, the fiscal cliff, to worry about.
Now we have that'll be another man-made artificial barrier, such as
exactly
the Mayan calendar. But it's been an interesting month. The ITU, International Telegraphic Union, tried to make a stab at taking control of the internet because all of these countries that want to control information actually don't like the free flow of information.
Exactly.
That power grab really didn't work out too well. There's some people have been testing on the new fourth generation CDMA network called LTE. That's being, rolled out by Verizon, and it's extremely easy to jam. So it's actually quite vulnerable to jamming because it's such a sensitive algorithm for capturing the signal that you can jam it very easily simply by forcing it to lose sync. This week we're going to feature a guy who actually they call him the billionaire professor.
Really.
He's a guy at Stanford that actually was.
I thought that was you, the billionaire professor.
No, not quite. He was one of the first investors in Google, and he's invested in 17 companies there out at Stanford. He's now worth $1.3 billion, and he's still doing all of his research, having a great time, living in the same house. It's a very, very interesting story. And there are also some broad trends that I want to talk about today on the internet. The internet started out to be this open community where everybody was talking to everyone, open source, sharing, and we are evolving into gated communities like the Apple gated community with all the Apple apps, or the Google community, or the Facebook community, or the Amazon community. So gradually, we are morphing into a divided internet. So we'll discuss, is this good or is this bad for the consumer and for the internet in general? And of course, it's been a huge mailbag yet again.
Is.
Oh, that's right. And so now it is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
We got an email from Jim Kendall. Jim, he said, Dear Doc, I'm a long-term Saturday listener and a consumer of fantastic Stratford dinners. So he must be a winner.
this is a
winner. He obviously is a winner. Mm-hmm. I've got an iPad gift from my son, which has been wonderful. Used to download the various podcasts, including Tech Talk. However, earlier this year, the automatic podcast software on my PC began to have difficulties connecting to iTunes store and site. I got some error messages citing lack of network connectivity. It's now stopped updating podcasts. This occurs even after downloading the latest iTunes software from the Apple site. However, I have no other network connectivity problems. As I can use email, I can go to the Stratford site, I can shop Amazon, whatever I want to do. Could it be that Verizon ISP security service doesn't like iTunes in particular, or that has there something different been done with iTunes as in terms of your podcast since in the last month or so? Any thoughts on that, Jim, in Vienna? Well, we have not changed our upload process, Jim. So there should not be anything in particular with how we've been uploading our files. I did hear one other person that was having a problem getting iTunes. It would restart after a while. It could be an ISP issue. I think what I'm going to do now, since this is the second letter making that request, I think I'll go on to the iTunes and see if I can do any research on it. I also using Verizon as an ISP, and it could be that they're throttling bandwidth, although I don't believe Verizon does that unless they notify you. So I'm not really certain that would be the case. You can always, of course, go to the Stratford website, the RSS feed. That would be stratford.edu/rss/techtalkradio.xml. And you can actually just go to the website. There are links there. And you can listen to the show directly from the Stratford website then. Or you can sign up for the podcast through your browser. Now, that's not integrated with iTunes, but you could test whether that would also work because you're using then a different delivery method. Thanks for the email. I'll do a little bit more research on this and check it out, Jim. We got an email from Gary Seacrest. Dear Tech Talk, I joined you late. He was actually listening to the Best of Tech Talk on December 15th, okay. Judging by the date on the email. Mm-hmm. I think you were talking about features of the iPhone 4. If so, you briefly started talking about Wikipedia and local scans of topics, wherever you were. Did I hear that correctly? Love your show, although it's way over my head in most cases.
Way over my head in most
Happy
cases.
Holidays to you and your staff. Gary Seacrest, Arlington, Virginia. Well, Gary...
Your staff. I like that part.
You and your staff, yes.
It's all both of us.
That's right. He could have said to you and Jim. I think that would have been much more, you, Jim, and Andrew.
Exactly.
Yeah, it would have been much more personal. Mm-hmm. Actually, what I was doing in that particular show, we were talking about some of my favorite applications that I've downloaded for the iPhone 4, and one of them is WikiHood. And what that application does, you go to WikiHood, it finds your location using GPS, and then it gives you all the Wikipedia sites or all the Wikipedia, features which are very close to you, and it tells you how many miles they are away. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm traveling, even when I'm in India, I can go to WikiHood. It tells me what sort of monuments are around me and how far they are. And I can, I can then punch in and I can get walking directions to it. So that WikiHood is very convenient when you're traveling. That's what I was talking about. By the way, you can always go back to the Tech Talk shows and listen to them. Just simply go to techtalkonline.com. You can go to the December 15th show and you can listen to that show again. But you can also take a look at the entire show outline, which we've posted, and it will give you all the details if you just want to take a quick scan of it instead of having to listen to the entire show. But thanks for listening. We love having you listen every week, even if it is a Best of Tech Talk occasionally. Mm-hmm. We got an email from Mary. Dear Dr. S, my ESET Nod 32 antivirus is going to expire soon. And I've ordered a new iMac, so I don't want to buy a new subscription, because I'm going to have a new machine very quickly. I was told that AVG was a decent free antivirus product, so I went there and downloaded it, but it did not install. I tried to find out the best way to go about installing this. Someone from tech support at AVG in the Philippines, I think, said that I should not have downloaded the AVG until I uninstalled the ESET Nod 32. Is this man in the Philippines right? He wanted to remote my laptop, and I wasn't just really comfortable with that idea. So,
that sounds like a good plan,
so I
right?
didn't let him do
uh-huh.
it. Have I screwed up? What should I do? I can't find the AVG download software now in the control panel of add or remove. So what should I do? Thanks, Mary in Bethesda. Well, Mary, actually, if you're installing a new antivirus software, you do want to uninstall the old one, because the old one is going to think this new antivirus is actually another virus, and they're going to fight with each other. However, I would not want to go to a site and download something without having antivirus in place. So what I would do is I would leave your antivirus in place, download the AVG if you want to install it now, download it. And then after you've downloaded it, you can go into the ESET Node 360 and you can simply disable it. You don't have to uninstall it, you can disable it. And then while it's disabled, you can install the new AVG. And then if you're satisfied with the AVG, the way it's operating, then you could uninstall the NOD32. So it's really, you don't necessarily have to uninstall it to install the new one, you just have to disable it. And then if you decide you don't like AVG, which, by the way, is the number one rated free antivirus software, I've talked about that previously on the show, and you are right, that's a good one. But if you do like it, then you can just uninstall the NOD32. I also use NOD32 on my machine, but since you just need this temporary holdover for just a month or so, I think using this free one's probably a good option for you. But that was a good question, and it's difficult to get anybody in support when you got a problem like that. Your best option is go to the FAQ normally. Normally what I'll do, I'll go to the website and go to frequently asked questions, and I typically get much better information from the FAQ than I do by trying to talk to a live person. We got an email from Robert Tyler. Dear Dr. Schertz, usually when I write, I have a question for you to answer. But this time, I have a suggestion for you that you and your listeners might like. I found an extension called Send to Kindle, which sends the text and photos of an article that I'm reading on the web to my Kindle, so I don't have to read it on the computer screen. I always disliked reading long articles on a computer because of the bright screen, being hunched over the desk. Now you can read a long article at your leisure on your Kindle. The extension is available for Google Chrome browser. Just be sure to get an account from Amazon.com. Thanks again for your great podcast, Robert Tyler. Well, Robert, that is actually not a bad idea. And the add-on you're talking to do is Send to Kindle by ClipMe, ClipMe. And it's free. And so if you simply go to, you can actually Google Chrome extensions, Chrome add-ons, and it'll bring you to a web page which lists them all, and then you do a search for Kindle, and this will be the number one, and then you can then actually download it and install it onto your Chrome browser, and there's a little K that shows up in the upper right hand corner. You see a web page, you like, you hit K and it goes to the Kindle. But you've got to then, it actually sends an email to your Kindle. So what you have to do, you have to go to your Amazon account, and you've got to register the clip.me email address, which they give you. They give you a free email address. So everything is from the free email address that you send up with them, and Amazon has to accept that. And if they accept it, they just send it right to your Kindle account. That's a great feature. I don't use Kindle, but I think it's a very good idea. I use other similar ideas. I do Tech Talk research on my iPhone using Flipboard.
Uh-huh.
And when I find an article or a topic that I want to talk about on Flipboard, I'll actually email it to myself, and then I'll read it on the computer. So actually being able to conveniently send a notation of a browser, a page that you're looking at, is quite a good idea. We got an email from Arnie McKechnie.
Another frequent guy.
Another frequent listener. Dear Dr. Schertz, this information may be useful to your graduating students. I've attached an article about a new way that developers can get work by going directly to the consumer. It's titled, Hounded by Recruiters, Coders Put Themselves Up for Auction. I've also included a link to a great outdoor Christmas light display made with LEDs by an engineer.
Cool.
Since I know you love LED lights.
Yes, yeah, you do. You have about $5 million.
There's a whole story about that. Well, Arnie, this is a great idea. Auctions are great, and I do recommend that for technical folks to get connected with articles. This article talks about one of the latest websites to do this. It's called Developer Auction. There are other websites that allow, but Developer Auction is really only for San Francisco, Boston, and New York. There are other popular tech auctions where people can actually bid on work. What they do with Developer Auction, you actually post your background or your experience on that web, and then companies bid for your services. In the case of Guru.com, which is another way to connect with work, people put work up on the web, and then you bid for the work. So one is a reverse auction, one's a straight auction. So you can either auction yourself off and just trying to get a job with this Developer Auction, or you can just go to get part-time work on Guru.com. But this way of direct connection with the either the employer or the customer is a very popular way to go. And a lot of folks are using it. We've actually done some development work. We've gone to Guru.com on occasion, and we've found some very good developers in Kazakhstan, actually,
really?
To work on some stuff that we wanted to get done through Guru.com.
No,
so they're really, you can get good work. Now, one of the issues whenever you, as a company, this is a small aside, when you get work from somebody that you really don't know, you actually don't give them access to any of your servers.
This should be common sense by now,
yeah,
right?
It should be common sense because an awful lot of security penetrations are that way. So what they do is they work in their own sandbox, and then you review the code, and then you are the one that ports any code over to your system. You don't give really outsiders access to any of the back end items. That's just sort of security 101. But there is, particularly in the developing countries, and in Pakistan and Kazakhstan, in many of these countries where there's a very strong tech community, but they don't have a good way to connect with software companies that need coders. These kind of websites are a way that are providing a whole underground economy, and it's a very excellent way to get some work done. And it's also a good way to get some experience if you want to try things out. So I highly recommend that. Guru.com, or if you want to auction yourself off, developerauction.com.
Excellent.
Great emails there, Arnie. I think we can go to a break now.
We can. Well, before we do that, you are, as we've noted before, a multitasker. So you're not doing just a classroom of the airwaves over there. You are monitoring things, right?
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. I'm monitoring our Tech Talk page on Facebook. So you can go to facebook.com/Tech Talk Online, and I'll talk about any comments that you might make on that web page during the show. That would be facebook.com/Tech Talk Online. Also, we love your emails.
Yes.
So we want you to send us any emails to techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll cover them on the air, or else I'll answer them off the air.
And we'd like to thank all of our listeners and people who sent us emails over the course of the year, because they really make the program.
That's right.
Exactly.
They certainly do.
You're listening to Tech Talk. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Be right back after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tysons Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to talk about a very interesting man, sort of behind a lot of the tech companies there in California, David Ross Sheraton. That would be Sheraton with a C, starting with a C instead of an H.
Uh-huh.
David Ross Sheraton was born March 29th, 1951. He's a Canadian-born computer professor at Stanford who has invested in tech companies, and he's made a bundle. He's also done quite a bit of work in developing high-speed switches that support the internet. David Sheraton was born March 29, 1951, in Vancouver. He attended public schools in the Highlands neighborhood of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. He briefly attended the University of Alberta, where he applied for two majors, mathematics and music. And actually, music was his first choice. He loved music. He played classical guitar. University of Alberta rejected his application for the music program. Huh? So his second choice was mathematics. And so then he studied mathematics at the University of British Columbia, and he received a bachelor's degree from that university in 1973. Sheraton received his master's and PhD in computer science from the University of Waterloo in 1974 and 1978, respectively. He spent 3 years as assistant professor at the University of British Columbia before moving to Stanford in 1981. At Stanford, he set up the Distributed Systems Group and developed the V operating system. Sheraton co-founded initially his first foray into entrepreneurship. He co-founded Granite Systems with Andy Bechtolsheim. Now, Andy was one of the co-founders of Sun Microsystems. Granite, the company, produced gigabit Ethernet products, high-speed Ethernet products, which were used for switches, and it was acquired by Cisco in 1996. In August of 1998, a couple of years after he made quite a bit of money selling that his first company to Cisco, He and his co-founder Andy were sitting on his front porch talking to two guys, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, a couple of Stanford students, and they had this cockamamie idea of creating a new search product that would be more efficient. So Sergey and Larry talked to Sheraton and Andy on the front porch, on Sheridan's front porch, and after that conversation, they each wrote a check for $100,000 to Google.
Hmm.
Now, at that time, Google had not been incorporated. It was just an idea. So Sergey and Larry had to go down to, had to set up the corporation. Then they had to set up a bank account so they could cash these two checks. Each one of those checks today bought a share of Google that's worth $1 billion.
Jeez.
Think about that. $1 billion with a $100,000 investment.
That's quite a turnaround, isn't it?
That is quite a turnaround. Now, even David Sheraton says, you know, it turned out a little better than we thought.
Who would have thought that, right?
That's right. In 2001, Sheraton and Bechtolsheim founded another startup company in Palo Alto called Kalia. Kalia basically worked on high capacity switches, because he's always been, you know, interested in his research area had been in high speed switching, high speed operating systems, you know, to support the internet. And so this particular company, this Kalia, worked on high capacity switches. They also did blade servers, because of course Bechtelsheim was a was a co-founder of Sun, so he was into servers. They did blade servers, and they also did network address storage. Kalia, not surprisingly, was bought by Sun Microsystems in 2004. So they had a second financial success. Now, David Sheridan co-founded Arista Networks in 2004, soon after selling Kalia to Sun. And now Arista is, and he's the sort of the technical, chief technical officer there. And they make very, very high-speed switches. These are 10 gigabyte Ethernet switches. This is like 10 times faster than any other switch that you can that's out on the marketplace, either Juniper or Cisco.
Mm-hmm.
He's also invested in Aster Data Systems, where he serves on the advisory board. He's an early investor in a video advertising company, Sunavision. He also invested in VMware. Now, Sheridan has a reputation for a very frugal lifestyle. He was once included in the list of cheapskate billionaires. He still drives the same 1986 Volkswagen Vanagon that he had before he made of his money. Before he made his money, are you familiar with this Vanagon?
Yeah. They're like a little. It was like a microbus that was kind of a camper thing.
Oh, okay.
I'll see if I can find a picture.
So
for
he
you.
Still drives the same 1986 Volkswagen Vanagon. He lives in the same Palo Alto home that he's owned for 30 years, and he cuts his own hair.
Yeah.
You know, how can you cut your own hair?
Probably not very well.
You know, I looked him up. I mean, it's kind of a short hair. You know, he's kind of got a trim.
Maybe he has a Flobee, that thing that hooks up to your vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe he just cuts it short and he just like trims it around. I just can't imagine cutting your own hair. But he says it's, you know, he says he doesn't do it to save money. He just says it's quicker. He just, you know, he just gets up, gets, you know, if he needs a haircut, he just does it right there at the bathroom sink. Doesn't have to go anywhere. Now, he has a running dispute with his neighbor over a 6-foot high fence. His neighbor built this 6-foot fence, and he thinks it was too close to the edge. So they've been running. Oh, there's the Vanagon.
There's the Vanagon. Oh, see the little camper top pops up?
Yeah.
Doc, we should get one of those and take Tech Talk on the road.
That's right.
Don't you think?
Vanagon. Yeah,
broadcast in the Vanagon.
So he probably goes camping up and down California in his 1986 Vanagon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, he could have moved from his Palo Alto house and gotten rid of this big dispute over the fence. But he said, you know, I'm not really into moving. I like my house.
Sure.
You know, he just,
why
you
not?
Know. And so he basically works 10 to 12 hours a day at Stanford on his research, which is what he's devoted to. And this whole money deal is just nothing to him. In November 18th, 2005, the University of Waterloo announced that Sheridan had donated $25 million to support the School of Computer Science. That was very nice. Now, over the years, he's invested $50 million in various startup companies, actually 17 startups in all. Most of them have made money. He has an estimated worth now of $1.3 billion.
Good grief.
As of March 2012, Sheridan was ranked by Forbes as the 19th wealthiest Canadian and the 692nd wealthiest person in the world. And his nickname is the Billionaire Professor. And there you go, David Ross Sheridan.
That's pretty amazing stuff. Well, I hope you're paying attention. Now, Doc, what do we do next? We ask people questions, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a classroom there has
That's
to
right.
be.
Later on, we're going to have a classroom of the airways, and we're going to ask you some very detailed questions about what we've covered so far in the show. And if you get the correct answer to that question, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at either the Scoffier Dining Room or the Karim Dining Room. And you'll also get an A for the class.
Of course, and that you can hang on your wall or something.
That's right.
We call that little thing the pop quiz, and that's coming up next here on Tech Talk Radio on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, and 103.5 FM HD2. Stand by, the pop quiz is next.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
This is not a radio show. This is a classroom of the airwaves.
We've covered that million times.
And, you know, today, for the first time, we actually previewed the fact that we're going to have a pop quiz. So it's not a pop quiz,
It's really
not quite as pop as we would like.
I forgot that element of surprise in the pop quiz.
That's right. You're not supposed to announce it. But, you know, our regular listeners may have a clue that we do
because
that.
Because we do it the same.
That's right. Now, if you get the right answer to the pop quiz, you'll get an A in the class plus two tickets to fine dining at either our Falls Church campus, the Scoffier Dining Room, or at Woodbridge at the Karim Dining Room. Earlier in the show, I was talking about David Ross Sheridan. He, of course, is the billionaire professor who teaches at Stanford and is invested in many of the high-tech companies in Silicon Valley. Now, he's a frugal man. What car has he driven since 1986?
Why, if you know the answer to that question, the only way to win the prize and to get the gold star is to call us right now on the phone. Well, there's another way. We'll get into that.
That's right. You're
calling from west of Vancouver, Canada, it's 877-936-9333. I should say Vancouver, British Columbia, correct?
Yes.
Or if you're calling from east of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, it's 877-936-9333. And, of course, the wild card line is 877-936-9333. Or
if you're up near the Arctic Circle and have internet access via satellite, you can reach us by Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and your phone call will be forwarded to the studio free of charge.
Doc, you'll be happy to know on this cold winter day that the phones are at this very moment melting.
Well,
so why don't you go ahead and talk about something quick here.
That is extremely nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about the ITU and the power grab.
Okay.
The International Telecom Union, of course, is a UN agency for information and communication technology, and they were set up to sort of define telecom standards. So that the telephone company of one country could talk to another country and all the interface standards so we could have a global telecommunication network. Now, they have not updated their standards since 1988. Now, and so they are actually upgrading all of the standards, and there are various things that they're talking about. Say, transparency over mobile roaming charges. That's an issue now. You might go to some place and all of a sudden get charged $10 a minute. Because one particular carrier's got this huge price. So they wanted to somehow regularize roaming charges, which is a good thing. And then they said, maybe we should regulate the internet because it's running on top of telco structures. So maybe we should get the internet under regulation. And so all the countries in the UN could vote on it and it would be majority rule. Now, immediately what that would do is, the countries that are actually carrying the load of the internet, like the United States, would only be one vote out of 196 countries. And there are countries that want to restrict the free flow of information, like Iran or like Syria, and these various countries that have, you know, various, or North Korea that have dictators. They don't want their people to know the facts. And so there was an effort recently in the ITU met in Dubai, and they voted on a total takeover of the internet. They say it should really be under our control, not under the control of the Department of Commerce, or not under the control of the Internet Society, or ICANN, which is the Internet Society for Naming and Numbering. And so they did this vote, and they said, yeah, let's and so they couldn't agree on it, and they, at the last minute, they passed a ruling that said that access to the internet could be controlled by each country. So if a country doesn't, like China, doesn't want to have the internet, they could just turn the plug off. So they were going to give access, they're going to need control of access to the countries, and this thing passed. The United States voted against it. Canada voted against it. UK voted against it. A lot of the developing countries voted against it. Some of the other countries were going to take it under advisement whether they would vote for it or not. But in order for this to actually be a final decision, it's going to have to be signed as a treaty. In the United States, the UK and Canada have announced that they will not sign the treaty, and in fact, our Congress has voted, has basically given legislation they will not sign the treaty. So I don't think anything's going to happen here, because we do have to protect the integrity of the independent internet system, which is not beholden to one country or another. So it could have been bad news, but it worked out to be okay.
You know, even though I blew it and announced the pop quiz, which would, yes, so is now not a pop quiz, but it's a voluntary pop quiz, Doc.
It is.
You can attend the Classroom of the Airwaves and yet choose not to take the pop quiz, right?
That's right. But if you don't, if you don't participate, you might get an incomplete.
Well, okay. So we do have somebody who's going to participate, and that is Rome, who is calling us. Why Rome is not there. Kevin,
uh-oh,
can you work on that for us, please? Thank you. Tell you what, let's take a break, Doc.
Okay.
Wait a minute, let's try this one more time. Rome, are you there? No. I'll have Kevin work on that, and we will be right back in just a moment. This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. The much aforementioned pop quiz is coming up right after this.
It's Tech Talk Radio, IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. An executive chef at a trendy restaurant, a hotel general manager at a prestigious resort. These are the high-profile positions in the culinary arts and hospitality management industry. Get working towards your bachelor's or master's degree at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus. In fact, many of today's Stratford culinary arts and hospitality grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology, and we're working on the phone situation a little bit, and we should have that solved very quickly.
I hope so.
Since I was talking about the openness of the internet, let's talk a little bit about how the internet has evolved into gated communities.
Let me say this about the quiz. If Rome could call us back at 877-936-9333, that would be a big help. Rome, you were the first person in, so call us back at 877-936-9333.
Okay, very good.
Sorry about that.
So it's the internet is becoming increasingly dominated by what they're calling gated communities. In the past, the internet was an open society. It was freedom and open standards. Sharing information for the greater good was the motto. It was actually a kind of a kumbaya relationship. But then people tried to make money out of the internet. So it's always money raised its ugly head. And gradually, the internet has been turned is being turned into a revenue generator by very large companies that want to create gated communities so they can control the flow of money. We know some of those gated communities. Apple wants to create a gated ecosystem where you're always within their framework. Google wants to create it. Facebook wants to create it. Amazon wants to create it. Microsoft is trying to create it. They're just a little bit, you know, slow to join the party. Now, this billion-dollar battle is being conducted with walled cities where companies try to lock in our consumption using their vision of the internet. So, and the same firms that that provide services and content to us also track our data. And they want to find more and more about us, so they give us services like free storage on the web, they give us free email, they give us all sorts of features that, you know, really are convenient, and then they track us. And it turns out that user behavior can be sold to advertisers. So even if we don't buy their products, we become their product because they can sell our data. Now, the amount of global information that's created and shared by consumers has grown exponentially over the past few years to 2.8 trillion gigabytes in 2012 alone. Now, the giant tech firms are now building moats around their platform to lock in consumers and their data, especially for mobile devices. So once you've, like, got a mobile device, you download your app and you get music and movies from iTunes. You have your content backed up to the iCloud. You're sort of tied in sort of the Apple ecosystem through this application deal, and you're really not too likely to switch. The same thing, Google's trying to create an ecosystem with the Android, with its Play Store, with its tight integration to Google services like Gmail, Google Plus, and Google Drive. Now, Apple blocked updates. Now what they're doing, you're starting to see this war between the titans. Like, for instance, Apple blocked updates for Microsoft's cloud storage service, SkyDrive. And Google stranded Windows 8 users who were using Gmail by removing support for Microsoft's Exchange Active Sync. Twitter then blocked Google from accessing its Firehose, which allowed tweets to show up on the search results. And then in July, following the acquisition of Instagram by Facebook, Twitter cut off access to its data, preventing Instagram users from importing their lists of friends from Twitter. Then in December, Instagram suddenly disabled integrated with Twitter to share photos, and they would not be displayed online, and it forced users to click through to Instagram's site. Twitter responded with its own Instagram-style photo filters and editing capabilities, while Google, Microsoft, Apple, and Facebook are getting the bulk of the attention. What's interesting is Amazon keeps getting larger, and Amazon is making big bucks. They're now the largest retailer. Now, some people are thinking that Amazon may be the big winner in all of this. So if you've been watching all the news of people cutting off access, this is all a fight over your data. And I don't know that it's good for the internet in general, but it's a trend that's worth watching.
Gotcha. I think the phones have been figured out. However, we don't have our caller back. So, Rome, if you're listening, 877-936-9333. And we'll open – he's on line four? Okay, let's try that. Rome, are you there? Hello, Rome?
Woo-hoo.
Nope, Rome. Doesn't sound Woo-hoo. Like it. All right, okay. Rome, call us back. It looks like the phones are kind of working. 877-936-9333. We'll ask the question again if Rome doesn't call us back. Question once again is –
the question again was, let me go back and
Let's
review.
Go back
let
and
me go
review.
Back and review my notes because it has been 5 minutes.
It has been.
Earlier in the show, I talked about David Ross Sheridan. He, of course, is the billionaire professor, but he's a very frugal man. He's been driving the same car since 1986. What car does Professor Sheridan drive?
Okay, Rome, if you call us back, you're first in line. Otherwise, we're going to pick a hand at random from the class, okay?
Okay.
877-936-9333. 877-936-933 to play the pop quiz here on Tech Talk. And we will indeed be right back, better or worse.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tysons Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tysons Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology. Let's check those phone lines again.
Let's try this again. Rome, are you there? This is line three. Rome, are you there? Actually, you know what, Doc? Kevin is getting his information right now. As soon as it goes back on hold, I'll let you know, okay?
Okay, All right. Good. Well, let's continue now. I talked about this gated community on the web, and it's turning out to be, from a development point of view, there's a real battle going over on what to develop. And it actually gets to be the battle between HTML5, which is the sort of the latest dynamic programming language for the web, versus application development. See, like when I use Flipboard on my iPhone, I'm not surfing the web with the browser. Flipphone is going out and searching the web for me and bringing back content to me. So HTML5 is the new technology that allows developers to build rich web-based apps that run on any device via standard web browser. Now, many think it'll save the web. And what it will do that's interesting is that if you actually have rich HTML5 language, that can be displayed on any platform. So once you write an HTML5 website, it can be displayed on any mobile platform at all. And many think this is really the way to go. On the other hand, if you write an application, the application is platform-specific. Now, a recent report from BI Intelligence explains why they think that HTML5 will win out and what the HTML future will look like for consumers, developers, and brands. Native apps are distributed, of course, through app stores and markets controlled by the owners of the platform. HTML5 is distributed through the rules of the open web, and it's the link economy. Native apps come with one-click purchase options built into the mobile platform. HTML5 apps can tend to be monetized through more advertising because payments will be less user-friendly. Platform power and network effects. Developers have to conform with Apple's rules. Apple market share, meanwhile, creates network effects that lock in the user. If and when developers can build an excellent iPhone or iPad functionality on the web, they've got a built-in customer base. On the other hand, HTML5, applications can be displayed on any particular platform, but you don't have this guaranteed, closed-in customer group that you have. Now, right now, native apps can do a lot more than HTML5. HTML5 will get better over time. Right now, apps are winning. But the belief is that HTML5 gets better, and as our movement toward more open source gets better, we will actually see a shift to HTML5. So people that want to get into development should really keep both of these avenues open for themselves. So now it's much like the debate between Flash and HTML. Flash is now obsolete in HTML1.
Okay. Doc, let's try this.
Okay. Oh, maybe with the music, the phone line will work.
Rome, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's a banner day.
You know,
Merry
Rome
Christmas,
was not,
everybody.
Rome was not built in a day.
Nor was he reached on the phone in one
That's
day.
That's right.
Dr. Schertz, please ask
Earlier in the showroom, we talked about, David Ross Sheridan, the billionaire professor. What car did he drive since 1986? That is correct.
That is the correct answer. And Rome, you are the winner, and you really earned it this week.
You really did. You get two tickets to fine dining, either the Scoffier Dining Room or the Carême Dining Room. Just stay on the line and give your name, address, and email address to our producer, and we'll get those tickets out to you next week.
Rome, thanks again for bearing with us, and thanks for playing the pop quiz here on Tech Talk Radio. And we will indeed get the information from you, and we will indeed be back here on Tech Talk Radio in just a moment here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Tech Talk continues right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Let's talk about a few gifts for geeks.
This is great because you know what I'm doing after the show today?
What's that?
Christmas shopping.
Christmas shopping. Mm-hmm. Okay, gifts for geeks. These are sort of things that looked interesting to me. Maybe not all geeks, but these looked interesting to me. You can get scuba diving goggles with a built-in digital camera.
Ooh.
So it'll actually give you movies as you're going in.
So,
and you can get them at various prices.
Just before you're eaten by the shark.
That's right.
You'll be able to.
You can photograph it. Yeah, and so there's a lens sort of right in your forehead area, and you can get a nice one. You can get a really nice one for $399 or $299, or you can get a real cheap one for $49. The ones for $199 look pretty good. They typically come with 4 gigabyte SIM card,
mm-hmm.
and then you can either put them in the movie mode, or you can do still shots, and it'll just take a series of still shots, whichever you would like. And so if you're just doing, you know, like if you're, you know, when I was out at Sepinan Island, when I've got a, you know, big, you know, big schools of barracuda come by or bumphead parrotfish, you can swim through those schools and it would be just a great photography opportunity. On the other hand, if you're trying to take a picture of a moray eel looking out of a hole, to actually get the camera down there, you've got to put your face right in the hole. You might lose your nose.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, so this may not be good for photographing in holes at moray eels. So it's more for panoramic views. But it certainly would be a nice thing. The other, another, of course, I've got to put on the list, Wi-Fi-controlled LED lights.
Now, could you put one of the LED lights on the goggles so you could then film in the hole?
Yeah, you could probably do that. I think you could put an LED light on there. Now, that you know, this was really the year of the LED.
No kidding.
You know, the LED was actually discovered by Nick Holonyak while he was at General Electric 50 years ago. So this year we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the LED.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the year where they've really come out with these wireless control LED light bulbs using the Zigbee standard. And so they're sort of making switches obsolete, where now you can actually control every bulb individually through this wireless signal, and you can get any color you want, any intensity. And I think this is going to make a huge overtime impact in terms of home entertainment. Now, the problem is they're $60 a bulb.
That's yeah,
but I love them, and I we got this Philips at home, and now and this last week I downloaded the Disco app, so now I can actually flash to the music, or they'll change color to if I've got music playing, it will the iPhone will actually pick up the music and it'll change color to the music.
I don't think I want to know that you flash to the music.
Yeah, really, that's. Here's another thing for people that travel long distances, like to India, mm-hmm. and they have babies up in the front, bulkhead area that cry for, 12 and a half hours.
On the plane.
Noise cancellation earphones from Bose.
Yeah.
Those are really nice. Even if you're not listening to music, you can cancel out that noise, mm-hmm. or you can listen to music fairly low and cancel out the noise. Now, the trouble is the noise cancellation earphones from Bose, the OE15, it's kind of expensive, $299. Mm-hmm. And you don't get much discount on Bose stuff. Bluetooth speakers. I mean, wireless speakers are really in. So you can get some nice things with the wireless speakers. You can get like a Bluetooth laptop speaker from Creative T12 for $88. That way you put down your laptop, you can have really nice music. Ooh. So, that's really kind of the nice thing. What I like, of course, is a remote control thumb drive for presentations. You stick the thumb drive in the thing, and then it's got wireless control.
Wow.
And you can get that for $40. That's SmartPoint SP400. So you can go to anybody's computer, you put in your thumb drive, and you've immediately got you don't have to worry about whether their wireless stuff works, because you're actually using the wireless stuff directly. And I'll tell you, I use that whenever I go to India, mm-hmm. or I'm traveling, I use that unit. Now, the only disadvantage is when you put a thumb drive in somebody else's computer, you pick up viruses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always, when I bring it back from the wild, I always do a virus scan, because I'm telling you, I pick up some stuff.
Bring it back from the wild.
Bring it back from the wild. This is the year of the cheap Blu-ray DVD with Wi-Fi internet access. Mm-hmm. So you got a geek that likes to watch movies, get them like a Blu-ray DVD with Wi-Fi connection. You can probably get a really a good one for around $129, and then get them a Netflix subscription for $10 a month. And he's got then, a year's worth of movies coming through the system.
Not bad.
I think any geek would just love that. Now, I'll tell you, this is something I love, this Lego Mindstorm robot kit.
Legos are just cool.
But this has got a processor in it. You can program it. And I'm telling you, this Lego Mindstorm 2.0 robot kit, it's $299, a little pricey, but it is just fun to play with. And if you've got kids that you want to teach them programming and how to do technical things, this is actually a great, great educational toy. And I'm telling you, even if you don't have any kids, this is a lot of fun to play with, because it just, I bought the version 1.0 and I loved it. Now I'm thinking, okay, this 2.0 is looking pretty good. I'm getting weak. Now, that's kind of nice. Now, the other thing is, if you're a geek that does a lot of traveling and you've got this expensive video coming into your house, say through Fios or other thing, and you're in India, and you want to get the same video on your iPad or your iPhone, you can get this device called the Slingbox 500 Media Player. Mm-hmm. It intercepts the video, sends it out over the internet, and you can then play your video from an iPad, from an iPhone, or from anywhere else in the country, and you don't have to pay for anything because you're just paying for your own content. Mm-hmm. So those are a few kind of geeky gifts that this geeky guy kind of liked.
Very good. Well, I know what to get you now.
Okay.
All of the above.
I'll tell you, this show has just flown by.
Indeed it has.
I'll tell you, we love you to go to the Stratford.edu website, take a look at what programs Stratford has, and let them know that you heard about them on Tech Talk Radio. We love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu and go to techtalkonline.com and sign up for our podcast.
And if you like this show, you can hear it again at 6 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
This tape represents the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions. FM HD2 Manassas, WTOP FM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
And speaking of sports, coming up this afternoon, we have GW basketball, GW versus VMI at 2:30, and then the NBA on Federal News Radio, the Wizards versus Detroit at 6:45. The weather forecast, it's going to be a windy day today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-40s, winds gusting up to 55 miles an hour times. Right now outside our studios in Northwest, variably cloudy, windy, and 40 degrees at 10 a.m.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no